Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're continuing to celebrate Easter and this glorious season of the church year when we see the gospel going forward in such great power. And each day, experiencing, as we read the stories the church presents to us, walking with Peter and the apostles and all that happened over the last few weeks in the temple, the transformation that happened in the apostles was absolutely astounding when you think about it. Just the courage that they showed and the difference the Holy Spirit makes in a person's life. Now, it's self-evident from a Christian perspective, but I think what we ought to draw in part, friends, from these stories that we're reading from the Acts of the Apostles in particular, is that change is at the heart of Christianity. Christianity means change on a certain level, real transformation. We're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus and the extraordinary transformation that happened in him and all that began what's real and new. And so we can come away from just meditating on the resurrection, seeing Jesus at the right hand of God the Father in heaven, see God's plan for salvation and say, yes, I believe that Jesus is the Savior, Jesus is the Lord, Jesus is the one who's making a way for us to pass from death to life at the end of our life. And that right now we are children of God, but mainly between here and our own being brought into the presence of Christ, standing before the Lord Jesus at our death, the moment we die, we're going to appear before him, that we have confidence in the resurrection or confidence in our coming into the presence of the Lord, entering into the kingdom of God, into heaven. But I think there's a lot more between where we are now and when we stand before the Lord on Judgment Day that is part of the normal Christian life. In particular, what I'm talking about is the transformation of life. Because we have been given the same Holy Spirit that the apostles received on the day of Pentecost. Jesus said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You shall be my witnesses. The power of the Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, has been given to us. And so we see, for me, what's very helpful is to keep my eye on the saints and see how far the saints have gone in this life. Gives us a picture of how far the Lord wants and can bring about in us radical transformation. It's the Catholic mystical tradition or the teaching of the spiritual journey is very common understanding where the Lord wants to take us, but I'm not sure all of us accept that, you know, the purgative, illuminative, unitive stages. Unity leads to the spiritual marriage in this life, a total, just an absolute transformation and union with God, already experiencing the bridal unity and a level of holiness and total freedom within us and the subduing of the flesh and being freed from so many things and walking with extraordinary union with God. It's possible. And it's really what the Lord wants for all of us, to make sure we're paying attention to the fact that the gift we've been given, as Paul and Peter and the Lord himself talks about, the gift of God that we've been given. Remember the Jesus encountering the woman at the well? He said, if you knew the gift of God. Paul asks us that question. You know, Paul mentions a number of times to recognize the gift of God that's been given to us. Do we recognize the fullness of what is ours now? Not just the gift of God. We say, yes, the Lord gave us salvation. It's the ultimate gift, right? To pass from death to life and to live with God forever. He gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's the central reality of the gift of God. But what does it mean that we've been given the Holy Spirit? That's one of the things that we're going to be looking at this week. And as we read today, we're going to touch on the story of Cornelius, one of my all-time favorites. When the gospel goes to the Gentiles, God's intention of Israel itself, the people of God, they're a light to the nations. And through Peter, through the apostles now, the Lord is going to bring what happened on the day of Pentecost to the Gentile world, because the gospel is meant to go. It's God's plan of salvation, literally for the whole world. And it's these transformed men and women who are being sent forth by God with so much union with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's the one who's directing the whole process. The Holy Spirit is the, St. John Paul II, I think, described the Holy Spirit as the first agent of the church's mission. And the church's mission is what? To extend the kingdom of God in the world, to bring salvation to the world, repentance and forgiveness of sins. So before we look at Cornelius, I want to just take a peek at Luke chapter 2, the story of Simeon. Simeon, a righteous man, a devout man who was in the temple and he was waiting on the coming of the Messiah. And Joseph and Mary, this is the story of bringing Jesus for the presentation, for the purification and cleansing rite that's going on. But I wanted to just read what Simeon says as he's holding Jesus. And he mentions the ultimate mission, really, of the Jewish people is to bring the light of revelation to the Gentiles. We'll begin in verse 25 here, chapter 2 of Luke's gospel. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. I love that. Consolation of Israel, really, he was looking for, in particular, the Jewish people to be freed from the dominion, the rule of the Romans over them, to be set free, to be fully able to live what God's calling them to live. Verse 26, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So the anointed one, the Christ, the Messiah. And inspired by the Spirit, he came into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you've prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel. Verses 31 and 32 in particular are important. Just looking at now the story of Cornelius, he knows the time has come that the light will extend from Israel to the Gentiles. That's the total non-Jewish world, right? Those who have not experienced what the Jewish people had experienced and brought into relationship in the way that God brought Israel into relationship. And so the Messiah is the light for revelation to the Gentiles, and he's the glory of the people of Israel. The central purpose, you might say, or the greatest vocation of the people of Israel, of the Jewish people, that God was preparing a people to do what? To be the conduit through which salvation would come to the world, because the Messiah would become from the Jewish people. And he would bring the light of salvation and the light of the kingdom of God to all the nations. It really is their glory. It really is their dignity. Now, we're going to see how the gospel message went from the Jewish people to the Gentile world in the story of Peter and Cornelius, the encounter in chapter 10 of the Acts of the Apostles. It begins in verse 1. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion of what was known as the Italian cohort. So he was a soldier responsible for over 100 soldiers. He was a devout man who feared God with all of his household. He gave alms liberally to the people, and he prayed constantly to God. Think about that. Here's a non-Jew who's righteous. God sees him, his humble heart. He prays. He fears the Lord. Fear of the Lord, friends, is something I talk about periodically. I wrote a little booklet on it, on the fear of the Lord, because it's such an important gift, spiritual gift, but it's not talked about so often. And we see it even here in the Acts of the Apostles in chapter 9, as the kingdom of God was beginning to spread among the Jewish people, getting baptized in the Holy Spirit, getting saved, coming into the waters of baptism, entering the church. It said the church grew through what? Through the fear of the Lord and the power of the Holy Spirit. Through the fear of the Lord. It's a critical thing. It means a heart that's lives in deep awe and sense of God's righteousness, God's holiness, a desire to be holy, God above all things. Like Peter's fear of the Lord was, for example, when he was standing before the Sanhedrin and they told him that they couldn't preach about Jesus anymore, especially the resurrection, to be silent about it or they were going to pay a price. And Jesus said, you know, well, we hear what you're saying, but we must do the will of God. We are going to do the will of God. We're not going to do what men tell us to do. We're going to do what God tells us to do. So you see the level of transformation that Peter went through from Holy Thursday night to that very moment where he said, from here on out, it's like Joshua, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord, period. Why? Because he is God, because he is great, because he is holy, because he's righteous. And that is what's in the heart of a person who's being moved by the Holy Spirit into an ever-deepening, healthy fear of God. Not slavish fear. Hey, God's angry at me and I'm scared of God. But no, this is filial fear of a child of God. He was a devout man who feared God with his household. He gave alms liberally to the people and prayed constantly to God. A busy man like that praying constantly to God. About the 9th hour, which is 3 o'clock in the afternoon of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. And he stared at him in terror. Every time an angel appears to somebody in the New Testament, they feel this fear because you get a glimpse of the holiness of God. You get a glimpse into the kingdom and the majesty and power that's there that's being manifested through an angel. Verse 4, and he stared at him in terror and he said, what is it, Lord? And he said to him, your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. God heard his prayers because he was a righteous man, because he feared God. And now send men to Joppa and bring one Simon, who is called Peter. He's lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. When the angel who spoke to him had departed, he called two of his servants and a devout soldier from among those that waited on him. And having related everything to them, he sent them to Joppa. So here's how the Lord is going to bring the gospel to the Gentile world. He chooses a man, a soldier, the Roman army, who's righteous. And really what it means is he's part of what's called the God-fearers. These were non-Jewish people who came to worship Yahweh and sometimes would participate in synagogue services. They focused on following the moral law, the religious precepts the best they could, but they weren't circumcised and they weren't converts. He's a classic example of a sprinkling of these people that were drawing near to God, drew near to the temple, and were righteous. That is, they sought the Lord. They sought to be like the Lord. So God chooses him, another unlikely character. He's not going to a Gentile king. He's not going to a well-known religious ruler of some kind in the Gentile world. He goes to a soldier. And what does God see? God doesn't see position. God sees the heart. God sees your heart. God sees my heart. God loves a lowly heart, a heart that fears the Lord. The Lord will draw near to them. And we should be very encouraged by that, friends, because the Spirit of the Lord is upon us, and he's giving us a new heart to draw nearer and nearer to God every single day. We're going to continue the story tomorrow. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future, and it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.